Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain.
Everybody, you are listening to A Time of Reflection. That was the song was out, Break Every Chain. Lord Jesus, we know he can break every chain through his words and fasting and praying and seeking God's face this morning. We're so grateful to be on the line this morning. And I'm going to turn you over to our host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for another opportunity
to be on the line running a little late. I'm driving, so just bear with us for as this noise is concerned. Again, we thank you for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing in our lives, and we're thankful for this topic. Protect your anointing. How many know by any means necessary we need to protect our anointing? We're just so happy to have with us again one of our special guests. He's really not a guest. Amen. He's one that we have embraced and known down through the years. We love him and appreciate the gift that God has deposited down in his spirit, whereas he loved the brotherhood and the sisterhood. Amen. So we're just thankful to have Dr. Winston Singleton, Jr., all the way from Los Angeles, California. He is a pastor, assistant pastor. He is a preacher. He's a teacher. He is a man that really loves God's people, and we certainly appreciate him coming on and making the sacrifice to be with us on today to share on this topic, protect your anointing. Amen. So with no further ado, we're going to bring him right on where he can give us what thus say the Lord. Amen. And he has ample enough time to elaborate on this topic. So God bless you, Pastor Singleton. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord to everyone, and we're just so honored to be in here on the broadcast. First of all, giving honor to God, who's our head of our life, and his son, Jesus Christ, who's our soon-coming king. We thank the Lord for this wonderful time of a reflection, because I think at this time and age, we need support system in the family of the body of Christ. For the Bible said that we are members in particular. We are a royal priesthood. We are the kingdom of God. And in this day and time, we need to know that we all play an important role in this end time. You know, the Bible said that, and it's one of my scriptures I've taken on wholeheartedly concerning of the conditions that are in our world today. The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And that comes to me in a very powerful way, because of the traditions that we were taught in home concerning of love and respect and honoring our elders and respecting the female gender and respecting people of all walks of life. Somehow we have left those standards at home, because the Bible said that charity begins at home and then spread abroad. But we see that the condition of the household today is not too much complete, because sometimes, I'm not saying in all cases, but the mother and the father being in the home plays an important role of the structure and the evolution on our development. There was a time that the father would be the one that bring home the bacon or the money and support the household in terms financially. And the mother would be the one at home nurturing and making sure, you know, keeping us, you know, give us all the things, you know, teach us how to cook and sew and, you know, all the other things on how we should treat others. And then when we got out of hand, then the mother would tell the father, honey, can you whip that boy today? Because he was really bad. And, you know, the father come over and discipline him. So we had a combination of discipline and nurturing. But in these day and times, because of our economical situation and because of the family, the decaying of the family structure due to societal time, society structure, we no longer have that. We don't have that time that we are at the dinner table and I find myself sometimes doing that. I'm not always at the dinner table. I'm in the den watching television. They say dinner time, I say, well, I'll eat later. So the structure of getting together and empowering one another and stimulating, motivating, and activating one another is not there. So now, in order for us to rejuvenate, to become what we need to become, we need our spiritual family to come in and step in to help us. The Bible said we're helpers one to another. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to a flight. If two or three touching on one thing, gather together in my name, I'll be in the midst. You know, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer, 3 p.m., to go to prayer. But then when they saw a man laying at the gate called Beautiful, needed help, he said, look on us. You see where I'm going with this. So we need each other, no matter what state you're in. what geographical area you're in, no matter what circumstances you're in. I need you to survive. Now, I don't need you to exist because God is the existence of our being. However, in order for me to get along, in order for me to stimulate my intellectual, my social, and my well-being to help me in my physical and my spiritual, I need to interact with people. And if we as the body of Christ have the same like passions, the same spirit dwelling in us, the Bible said by one spirit we all baptized into the one body. If you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have a level of love. You have a level of endurance, forbearing. You have the ability and the situativeness in mind to be able to work with me to get me out of my dilemma. And if we can learn to harness the power of God that he's given with us, we can take this and we can help one another. And it's not always, a lot of times it's not always money. Sometimes it's just to send a card. It's to give words of expression. It's to let someone know how you feel. Sometimes it's just to knock on the door and leave a note and then leave by, you know, do a drive-by loving. I said a drive-by loving. In other words, don't come by and shoot up my house with bullets. Shoot my line. Shoot my door love. Let me know how much you love me. Say how much I love you. Let me count the ways. And so, therefore, if we can do this thing, the iniquity that's abounding in the world will come against us, and it will not cause us to be shattered in our own selves. Now, you say, well, why are you talking all this? Because I'm trying to get to a point where we have to do today. We must protect our anointing. We must protect our anointing. When you protect your anointing, then you can help me. When I protect my anointing, I can help you. And if we can protect our anointing, we can help the world. The Bible said that we're a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. The Bible said that we're lights of the world. The Bible said that we are examples of one another in words and deeds and conversation and faith, purity, charity. The Bible said, Jesus said, a new commandment I leave unto you, that ye love one another as I have also loved you. He said, by this love all men and know that you are my disciples or followers because you have loved one for another. But like I stated in one time, how can I love you when I don't love myself to love God? Let me repeat that, please. How can I love you if I don't love myself in loving God? You say, well, how can that be? The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse 4 and 5, he says, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you should love the Lord with all of your mind, all of yourself, and all of your strength. If I can't love me, I can't love God. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he went on and said, love your enemy. So if I don't love me, how can I love God? How can I love my neighbor? And how can I love my enemy? And how can I love my spouse? He said, love your spouse. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Or he gave himself for them. So, saints of God and friends, we must protect the anointing that God has given us. Because if you don't protect your anointing, how can you share your anointing with me? How can you influence and impact my life when your anointing is not being displayed? The Bible says, by your fruits I suppose to know you. I don't know you just by how you look. I'm supposed to know you for the power of God that's in you. I'm supposed to present to you the fruit of the Spirit. So I need to give you a little love, a little joy, a little peace, a little long-suffering, a little, you know, faith and meekness and temperance. I'm supposed to show you that. I'm supposed to add to my faith virtue, add to my virtue knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. He said, for if these things are in me, and they abound, he said, I will be so that I will not be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he said in verse number 8 of chapter number 1 of 2 Peter. He said, he that lacks these things are blind and cannot see afar off. And I have forgotten that I was purged from my old sin. My anointing cannot be effect of me and help others. I don't know what I have because I forgot what I have because I forgot that the Lord saved me. But it's time today to rise up out of the ashes of your unbelief and say, Lord, I want to rekindle my relationship with you. I want to let you know that I thank you for what you have given me to empower others. We have to protect our anointing. This is a very fascinating, a very powerful topic. I'm excited today for this because why? I found out something. I found out that when we're talking about anointing, first of all, we got to understand briefly where it derives from. When we're talking about the anointing in the Old Testament, it was used when the high priest, when he began to apply the oil and use the oil, put the spices to render unto God what was needed. If it was to anoint a king or a prophet, if it was to bring forth blessings, they used that oil. As the Bible said, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the effect of it, the effect of unity. It's like the precious ointment that rolled down from the brow, even into the beard, into the skirt of Aaron. The anointing destroys the yoke by the way of oneness. The anointing comes when we have on one accord. The anointing comes, healing comes when I have trust and belief in you and you believing in me and we believing in one another. There's no mountain high enough. There's no valley low enough. There's no ocean deep enough to separate you and me from loving one another. The Bible said, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? And he makes mention of a whole lot of other things. Shall nakedness, shall sword, shall persecution. He said, we're like sheep for the slaughter. He said, we're killed all the day long as sheep for the slaughter. But look what Paul said. He said, nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. And then he said, amen. He went on and said that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks to God and friends, it's time to protect your anointing. But first of all, you have to love yourself. Then you have to know where anointing derives from. Like I said, the high priest used that anointed oil. But when you come to the church, the New Testament, it doesn't necessarily mean the oil that the priest applied. It doesn't mean the olive oil coupled with all the spices and things that God required to anoint one. But now, when we talk about now this type of anointing, we're talking about in the Greek charisma. We're talking about that special endowment. We're talking about in the New Testament, anointing with a type of metaphorical or symbolic way of representing what the word anointing means. In other words, in the church, it doesn't necessarily mean the oil and the spices, but it means the power of the Holy Ghost representing the same effect that the oil had in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, rather. I heard David said, he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But what the Lord did, he said, if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It represents the anointed like the oil did in the Old Testament. When I got the Holy Ghost in me, it causes me to think differently. It changes my mindset. It changes my outlook on life. It changed the way I do things. Because why? It's a comforter. It's a teacher. It's an instructor. It's a guide. It's an inspiration from God to me. The Holy Ghost, he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What are you talking about? I'm talking about we got power in us that's not only powerful here in this world, but even in the world to come. Do you not know the Holy Ghost is going to be so powerful? The Bible said, if that same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, if that same spirit dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. And the Bible said, amen, out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, he said, and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air in the clouds, and so shall we be with the Lord. And the Bible said in verse number 18, comfort one another with these words. The power that God has given us through the Holy Ghost allows the anointing to exude in our lives. But you have to know you have it. You have to believe and let it work. I got some scriptures here we're going to talk about today. There's going to be two things. But let me go on first and just say that in the New Testament, that the anointing is represented by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's another way in which it attributes to or the association of that word anointing, the word charisma. It's a special endowment. When I talk about endowment, it derives from the word endow. Endow means it is to furnish or provide with a gift, talent, or good quality. Endow means, let me say it again, it is to furnish or provide with a gift, talent, or good quality. When I say, what do you say? Well, Elder, what do you mean by furnish? Well, let me tell you. I'm getting ready to tell you now. Furnish means to provide with what is needed. To provide with what is needed. When you furnish something, you also make available for use. So therefore, if I put those two things together, the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit of God, provides us with what is needed and makes us available for the usage through the gift that he has given us. Oh, Lord, when God gives you a gift, you become supernatural. When God gives you ability, you surpass through your human and your human characteristics and your human limitations. I remember one time I was talking to a friend of mine, and I made mention. I said, "Well, you know, man's extremity is God's opportunity." And the person caused me to change my way of thinking. He said, "No, man's extremity is not God's opportunity. Man's extremity is God's remedy." I said, "Man's extremity is God's remedy." In other words, God wants you to run out so he can fill your cup back up. God wants you to be broke so he can make you rich. God wants you to be dumbfounded so he can restore your wisdom. God wants you to be low that he can make you high. You see what I'm saying? So God wants to put forth the anointing in your life to take you beyond your wildest dreams of helping others. Because I can't help nobody. I'm as limited as two left shoes. And one time I tried to put on two left shoes, and I was walking half straight. But when I put my left shoe on my right foot, I was going off. So God wants us to put on the good foot, and he wants us to walk. The Bible says, he said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord also said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So when I'm talking about anointing in the New Testament, I'm not talking about the anointed oil. I'm not talking about the fragrance of the oil due to the spices and the consecration of that oil. I'm talking about the church anointing. I'm talking about the Spirit of God that was given to us through Christ. You say, well, where did you get that from? That's a good question. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. chapter number 2. I'm sorry, not James, I'm sorry. 1 John, I'm sorry. The epistle, 1 John, chapter number 2, verse 27. That's 1 John. Just digressing for a moment. You know that John, the Apostle John, wrote 5 books. He wrote St. John's Gospel, or the Gospel according to St. John. He also wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd Epistle of John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. But I'm talking about 1 John. 1 John, chapter number 2, verse 27. That's what it says here. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in you." Did you understand that? Let me read that again to you. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." The anointing, not the oil of the Old Testament, not the oil that the priest had. We're talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Holla. The anointing of the Holy Ghost that he's given you has given you an ability. It has furnished you. It has equipped you. It has provided you with the means necessary to defeat the works of Satan. It has endowed you with special abilities. No, you do not bring forth magic. That's of the devil. No. You don't bring forth luck, which is the philosophy of men, but you bring forth the power of God. Because why? The Holy Ghost is the comforter. It is the spirit of truth, and it is the promise of the Father. He said when the promise of the Father come, when the comforter come, when the Holy Ghost come, he said it will guide you in all truth. He said it would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. The Bible also made mention concerning of the Holy Ghost that it will give you what to say at that given hour. The Holy Ghost is power. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit dwelling in you. What he did, he took out the old stony heart and inserted a heart of flesh. And the Holy Ghost is that ability to remind you that God still is living. God is still breathing. God is still has his anointing upon you. But you have to get in your mind that I'm going to serve God in the anointing. I can't serve God in the flesh. Look what the Bible says. I'm going to digress for a moment. Look what the Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. He said, therefore now, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said that the law of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse number 3 says, what the law couldn't do is because it was weak in the flesh. He said, but God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that we may manifest in us the righteousness of the law, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But look what he went on to say, and I'm getting excited. He said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said that a carnal mind is an enmity, or the state of being an enemy, against God. It's not subject to God, neither indeed can be. So then the carnal mind cannot please God. Thanks God and friends, I want to let you know that if you got a carnal mind, you cannot walk in the anointing. When you're walking in your flesh, you are not protecting your anointing. When you're walking in your own mind, you cannot be led of God. He said, he that is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he went on and said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse 16 and 17, he said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the anointing, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, now the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary. These two are counterparts. These two are battling one to the other, that you will not be able to be what you should be or would be. Look what the Bible says in the book of the verse number 19 of chapter 5 of Galatians. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which it is. The first one is a sexual problem. He said, adultery. When I commit adultery, I'm not demon-possessed. I'm in my flesh.
All right.
In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, I desire the law of God of the inward man. That's Romans chapter number 7. He said, I desire the law of God of the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing it to captivity into the law of sin within my members. But look what he said here in verse number 23 of Romans chapter number 7. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. See, without the anointing, I'm wretched. Without the anointing, I'm a scrub. Without the anointing, I have no power. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who shall deliver me? Holla. From the body of this devil. He said, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ that I myself with my mind serve the law of God and with my flesh the law of sin. Then he said in another passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 verse 23, he said, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, the spirit of your mind constitutes your attitude and your thoughts. Honey, in order for me to be in the anointing, I got to think anointing. Hey, in order for me to think victorious, to be victorious, I got to think victorious. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I say, as a woman thinketh, so is he. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart flows the issues. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I'm talking about anointing today, I'm not talking about the oil that was poured on the head of David. I'm not talking about the anointed oil that the high priest used to consecrate things. I'm talking about the power of God that he has given us, that dwells in us, that is with us through better or for worse, through sickness and health, through poverty and prosperity, through turmoil and through victory, through positive and negative factors. I'm talking about the spirit that gives us the ability to exist in this world. Now, what I want to say right now, that the believers have an anointing. Let me repeat that. Every believer have an anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Ghost. And it indicates that this anointing renders us and has us to be holy, that we may separate ourselves from the world unto God. When I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the gift that God has given us that is all efficient, that is all purposed, that gives us and possesses us with the knowledge and the wisdom to guide us in this corrupt and perverse world. Without the Holy Ghost today, you cannot live right. Without the Holy Ghost, we cannot pray right. The Bible says we don't even know what to pray for as we should. For the Spirit itself making intercession through groans that it cannot be uttered. It read in the mind of our spirit. You said I need a man. But the Holy Ghost said, Lord, give him a mind to say I can. And I have a plan. And I understand what the Master has for us.
All right,
we have to understand that the Holy Ghost is here to aid us. The Holy Ghost is here to assist us. The Holy Ghost is supposed to help navigate us. But if you're not walking in your anointing, what route are you traveling? Are you going up Highway 66? Or are you on the way to Highway to Hell? But I heard him say, city called heaven. City called heaven. City called heaven somewhere. I want to make it. Help me to make it. City called heaven somewhere. And I just want to let you know for a moment, I'm going to encourage your heart, that you got to stir up the gift that's within you. I said you got to stir up the gift that's within you. We're all going through something in our minds. We're all going through something in our physicality. We're all going through something in the spirit. But I want to let you know today that the power of the Holy Ghost and its anointing will take you and transcend you from the place that you were to the place you should be in. Some of us, a lot of us right now are walking in our season right now. I want to tell you, right now, some of us are walking in our season, but we're scared to travel through the terrains. We're scared to walk through the valley of our season. But I heard David said, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I don't give a care about the gangbangers. I don't give a care about the demonic forces. As long as I got King Jesus, that's all I need. As long as I got the anointing, I can leap over walls. I can run through trees. I can do the impossible because the Lord is with me. That's the way we have to think today. I have to protect my anointing. I have to protect what God given me. We are endangered species with 10,000 falling on this side. And the Bible said that a falling of the way has to come first. Then the end shall come. I know that this massive revival, but God is will right now that the enemy come against us. Without the enemy coming against us, we don't know where we are in Christ. Because if everything is given to us, then why do we need to pray to the Lord? The Lord said, I've given you the anointing that you can call upon me anytime, and I'll be right there. I heard there's a song he said, just call my name, and I'll be there. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous written there in his faith. The Bible said, in whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. The Lord's name has to be praised. Call upon me while you may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. Call upon me while I'm in your spirit. Call upon me while I'm in your mouth. Call upon me while I'm in your household. Call upon me right now while I'm dealing with you in your ministry. Call upon me while you know I'm calling upon you. Because when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, my soul will cry out hallelujah. Let me get on in this lesson. I'm getting excited. Protect your anointing. Protect your anointing. Because why? We have received that from the Holy Ghost. And we don't have to have philosophical views concerning about what we got. Well, you know, that's not the Holy Ghost. It's an aura that's all around you. You can call it whatever it is. You can call it positive energy. You can call it whatever you want. You can say, I got a global warming in my head. But I know what I got. I got God in me, honey, because I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right, and something got a hold. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Something got a hold of me. It was the power of God, and it changed my life. Can I get a witness? It changed the way I think. It changed the way I walk. It changed the way I treat people. It changed the way I look at myself. The anointing that destroys the yoke. The anointing that gives me comfort in the time of stressful condition. But I want to share with you two things that the Lord gave me this morning when I woke up. He said, the Lord speaks to you that way. Sometimes you got to wait on the anointing. Some of you preachers out there, sometimes you have to wait on the anointing. Because why? I just told you in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 27, but the anointing which ye receive of him abide in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. If I'm abiding in the anointing, I got to allow the anointing to have its way. trust in the Lord with all your heart, mind, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will allow the anointing to direct your path. Look what's here. There's two things I'm going to talk about today. First, number one thing is, one way to protect our anointing is to be strong in the Lord. In order for you to protect your anointing, you have to be strong in the Lord. He said, where did you get that from? The Old Testament preacher by the name of King Solomon left us with an important element in our relationship with God. And that is that we maintain our strength in him. Solomon left that. That we maintain our strength in him. You must be strong in the Lord if you're going to protect your anointing. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 24, verse 10 states, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you faint in the day of turmoil, of uncertainty, of negative and perverse calamities, if you fall by the wayside of something come against you, then your strength is small and your anointing is not protected and you are vulnerable for destruction by in the hands of the devil. But look what Solomon says. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So you have to be strong. You need strength in God. When a believer has strength, he or she possesses the quality of being strong and having the ability to resist attack. Let me repeat that. When a believer or anyone out there has strength in God, he or she possesses the quality of being strong and having the ability and the capability to be able to resist attack. When a person has strength and is strong, they demonstrate an anti-weakness state of mind. When you have strength, you demonstrate an anti-weakness state of mind or an anti-weakness of mindset. He said, where did you get that from? The Lord gave that to me. When you have strength, you have a mentality that nothing outside of your abilities will be able to penetrate your mind with negativity. In other words, when you have strength, I don't matter what comes against you, whether it's principalities, powers, whether it's whatever, you will not let it deter you because my strength comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I have strength, I have the ability to overcome. Then I can wait on the Lord, and I can be of good courage, because he will strengthen my heart. God will give you the ability to protect your anointing, but your strength must be in him. You can't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says, cursed is the man that put his trust in your arm of flesh. But blessed is the man that put his trust in God. We got to stop depending on people, y'all. And we got to stop depending on God who allowed a person, who gives you favor in the eyesight of people to do it again. Look what he told Abraham. Let me just digress for a moment. He told Abraham, or Abram, chapter number 12 of the book of Genesis. He said, Abram, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. He said, I'm going to make your name great. Mind you, three major world religions recognize Abraham as a significant figure of spirituality, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. I repeat, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam recognize Abraham as a significant figure of spirituality. But God already said it in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3. He said, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. But look what he said in verse number 3. He said, Abram, through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. We found out that the promise, the covenant that God made with Abram in Genesis, it also filtered down to his son Isaac. And then his son Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Israel had 12 sons. The 12 sons represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And 90% of that book talks about that family. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came 42 generations. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, verse 1, he said, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham and the son of David. So we find out in verse number 17 that he came down 42 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to Jesus Christ, 14 generations. And if you pull out your calculator or your iPad, you'll find out through multiplication, which is essential, 14 times 3 is 42. So Jesus came down through 42 generations. But then look what the Bible said in the book of St. John's Gospel. He said he came to his own, the Jews, and they received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave us power to become sons of God. And then Paul picked it up. I'm going to get where I'm going in a few months, but I had to give you a background here. Then Paul picked it up in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. He said, remember, in times past, verse 11, ye were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called the uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Look what he said in verse number 12 about us. He said you were without Christ, number one. Number two, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, you were strangers of the covenant of promise. Number four, you was without hope. And number five, and you was without God in the world. But he said, but now in Christ Jesus. I said, but now in Christ Jesus, now under the anointing, now under the power of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ from God. He said, but now you that were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. And he made peace and made both Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the middle walls of partition. But look what he said further down. He said, and are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles.
Hallelujah.
The cornerstone. What are you talking about? The anointing has made me somebody. The anointing has made me somebody in God. The anointing has made me from a pimp to a preacher. Has made me from a prostitute to a prophet. The anointing has changed my name. The anointing has changed my mind. The anointing, the anointing has changed me, honey. So I got something to be glad about.
Yeah.
I got something to feel good about myself.
Hey,
I'm no longer a dude. I'm no longer a female dog. I'm somebody in Christ.
What are you preaching today?
I'm no longer homeless because I got a home. On my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm glad about it. I'm on my way to... He said, when I see Jesus...
Amen.
When I see the man that died for me, the man that set me free, the man that brought me out... No more heartaches. No more disappointments.
Yeah.
It will be over.
All right.
When I see Jesus, oh Lord, hallelujah. Mm. When I see Jesus, amen. I wish someone say amen right now. Yes. I'm so glad the anointing. All right, let me get back on this thing here. So my strength comes from the Lord.
Ah, hallelujah.
Solomon said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small.
No.
How can I serve God when I'm weak in the mind?
That's heavy.
How can I serve God with no way of knowing that he's with me? Negativity, low self-esteem. Inferiority complex. How can I serve God in the anointing when I'm thinking fleshly? How can I heal when I'm sick in my mind? It's time for you to get up and heal yourself. It's time to encourage yourself and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Glory.
Say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe that you're living, but I don't believe you can take me. It's time to reverse the curse in my mind. Say,
reverse
Lord, it. Reverse the curse.
Mm.
The Bible says, cursed is the man that put his trust in his arm of flesh.
Say,
blessed be the man that put his trust in God. Look what the Bible said in the book of, let me just digress for a moment. Look what the Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. He said, blessed is the man. Walk is not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand it in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I'm talking about the anointed now, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. See, honey, the anointing's going to come in when you start meditating. The anointing's going to start when you get back in that closet. The anointing's going to come out when you start fasting and praying and consecrating yourself. And God will intensify your anointing. But your anointing will destroy the yoke when you intensify the anointing. But you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to pray, honey. You got to rely on the power of God that's within you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we can ask or think, according to the spirit and the power and the anointing of God that is within us. Honey, you got power that's greater than TNT, but you got to understand that my anointing is not based on my feelings. My anointing is based on my trust in God. My anointing is based on the Lord. My anointing is based on my relationship with God. No relationship, no anointing. No prayer, no power.
Hallelujah.
If you don't pray, you won't stay. And if you don't fast, you won't last. Honey, it's time to move this thing. You already got it in you. Now you got to let it come out of you. Solomon said it. If you faint, you will fall in strength. But then, look what he said here. The strength comes from your mind. I said the strength that you have comes from your mind.
Ooh.
When I think negative, I am negative.
All right.
I am low. When I think defeatism, I am defeated. I have to believe in what I have faith in. I said I got to believe in what I have faith in. Look what Jeremiah said in chapter number 17, verse 10 of Jeremiah. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. He said the heart or the mind is deceitful above all things.
And definitely, he went on to say,
who can know it? Honey, I don't give a care how long you've been on this earth. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. That's why you go off so often. I didn't know how to say that. You don't know who you are. Your heart is deceitful and your heart is wicked. Your heart is so wicked, your heart tells you to kill yourself. Why don't your heart say, honey, you need to fast? No, the Holy Ghost tells you through your mind you need to fast. But your mind automatically tells you, kill yourself. Why don't you take that, not Listerine, why don't you take that chlorine and drink it? Why don't you take don't take Pepto-Bismol and don't take Rolaid, but why don't you take liquid plumber? Take that acid that's in your kitchen and don't pour it down the drain. Pour it down your throat. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will not allow myself to kill myself by myself for myself because God said live. He said he would that none should perish, but all come into repentance and be saved. All you need to do, honey, to keep that anointing flowing, you need to repent and do like David said, Lord, according to thy loving kindness, and the multitude of thy tender mercy. Lord, blot out my transgressions. But please have in the back of your mind, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Lord, don't take your anointing from me. Lord, don't take that gift you got from me. Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, cause me to look again at myself and say, Lord, I am somebody. The anointing, to protect your anointing, you must protect the way you think.
All right.
Oh, yes. I said you must protect the way you think.
Well,
it's a dangerous thing. The NAACP say the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste. Your mind is all you got. When you take my mind, you got me. I said, when you take my mind, you got. That's why I can't let you have my mind. I can't let you have my thoughts. Now, I got to think of his goodness. I got to think what the Lord has done for me. I can't think about what you did to me in my past, because every time I think about what you did in my past, you are still in my head. God told me to tell you, get rid of that image in your mind and start to praise me. Forget about what that person is. Forgive yourself and then go forgive that person. Some of you need to forgive. God told me to tell you right now, some of you need to forgive yourself.
Said,
how can I forgive myself? Start thinking about it and cry about it. He said, I'm sorry for thinking the way I'm thinking. I'm sorry, Lord, for being the way I am. Lord, you know what I have need of. Stop crying out to the Lord. Your extremity is God's remedy. He said, call on me. He said, speak my faith. He said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven.
Hallelujah.
And I will heal your land. Honey, if you're not simple, you don't have to pray. But just in case if you don't have that strength and you have sinned, he said, now you have an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. He is your mediator between God and man. All you got to do is acknowledge that you're wrong and go before the Lord with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and say, Lord, help me. Because my strength is in the Lord. In order for you to protect your anointing, you must be strong in the Lord. Look what Paul said. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Why are you fighting me with fists when it's the enemy fighting against you? You're losing your anointing because you're fighting me. You gave me a bloody nose, you're losing your anointing. When you mess up my family, you're losing your anointing. When you mess up my church, you're losing your anointing. When you discredit the man and woman of God, you're losing your anointing. When you don't acknowledge God in all your ways, you're losing your anointing. When you think about putting witchcraft on folks, control on folks, you're losing your anointing. God said you're losing your anointing, but if you turn back to me, I'll rekindle your anointing. I'll rekindle the fire that was in you. All I want you to do is turn around and acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll light your fire again, honey. I'll rejuvenate you. I'll strengthen you. I'll revisit you the second time.
That's good.
Oh, Lord, he said, I'll revisit you the second time. But you got to gain strength in me. You have to gain your strength in me. Lean not to your own understanding. Love me with all of your strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Bible said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And in his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Why, since I got into the Lord, holiness is boring? Why, since I came to Jesus, life is no good? Why, since I turned my life over to Christ when I was partying in the world and I was uncertain of, then I come in the Lord and I got assurance, but now it's boring. Because you're not in the Lord. He said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy.
Honey,
there's spiritual ecstasy in God, in Christ. God will stimulate every nerve ending in your body. That's right. The presence of the Lord is greater than sex. The presence of the Lord is greater than a party. The presence of the Lord is greater than what you think, because God works in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. God will stimulate you till you don't need nobody but him. And God said, my name is jealous. God said, have no other gods before me. If you got a woman that you're worshiping, I'll take her out. If you got a man you put before me, I'll get rid of him. If you put your children before me, I'll cut loose on them. God said, give me you, and then I'll bless your family. I'll bless you in the fields. I'll bless you uptown, downtown, around town, the side of town, in town. I'll bless you. I'll bless you going out and you're coming in. But put me first. He said, first seek ye the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. In order for us to keep our anointing fresh, keep fresh oil in our anointing, we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to be strong in the Lord. Look what he said here. The strength of the Lord is in my mind. I said earlier, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But look what Paul said. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, but look what he said here. He said, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into their mold, their way of thinking. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. God said, if you give me your mind, I'll give you the city. If you give me your mind, I'll take your ministry to a new level. I didn't say a higher level, a new level, because I can go higher, but in the same mess. I can intensify the trash and junk, but God said, I'll take you to new heights, heights you haven't seen before, heights you haven't imagined yet. Heights that you couldn't even fathom in your mind. I'll take you to places where you have never been. I'll let you eat foods you never ate before. I'll have you to see people you never met before. God said, I'll take you to a whole new plateau. But you've got to give me your mind. You've got to give me your thoughts. You've got to give me your imagination. You've got to give me your creativity. You've got to give me your perceptions. You've got to give me your idealistic views. I want your mind, the Lord said. And I will strengthen you through your mind. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But look what he said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse 23. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Change your attitude. Change your approach toward God. When you pray, you don't have to wear no dress to pray. Pray him in your closet. Praise him. If you're naked, praise him. If you got clothing, praise him. If you're sick, praise him. If you're well, praise him. If you have money, praise him. If you think you're funny, praise him. Whatever state you're in, be therefore content. Because the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You have to rely on the strength that God has given you in order to keep your anointing fresh and flowing. Protect your anointing. Protecting your anointing means to protect your mind. Secure your mind with wonderful things, beautiful things, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. In other words, we must, as believers, we must believe that we have the power to overcome. We have to believe that. I can't have someone always speak it to me. I have to believe it and let someone speak confirmation. Let me tell you something. The reason why we can't receive divine revelation from God, let me repeat this. The reason why we cannot receive divine revelation from God is because we don't recognize divine confirmation. We can't receive revelation in the anointing because we don't believe that we're anointed. We don't believe that God has endowed us, furnished us, provided us with the means to meet the needs of people. We don't believe it. It was told to us. But it's time today to confirm, oh Lord, to confirm your anointing. It's time to confirm your, you said, how can you confirm your anointing? You said God give you the gift of healing. then go right now down to Skid Row. Go down to a place where you're sick and start laying hands on people. You said you're a prophet? Start prophesying, thus said the Lord God. You said you're an evangelist? Start traveling, not across the world, but across your neighborhood. If you said you're a pastor, start nourishing folks that look up to you. Start giving them instructions. Start taking them to a higher level in their mind. If you say you're a teacher, then put forth instructions and manuals and manuscripts to get people on their way. God wants you to start confirming your anointing. The reason why you can't confirm it because you don't know you have it. But God has given you the spirit. Look what the Bible says. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. God said, I've given you a sound mind before you thought your mind was sound. You're the one going back into your mind. You might have had schizophrenia, honey, but God said, I healed your body. It's time to get out there and talk to other schizophrenic people and let them know that by faith you can be healed. But until you believe, start taking your medication. It's time to help somebody in the anointing. It's time to help somebody in the body of Christ. It's time to help people in the world. It's time to go forth in your calling because it's in you and it's dwelling with you. And he said the Holy Ghost, the anointing, will teach you what you need. All right, let me move on further. I got another part here. So we must believe, as believers, we must believe that we have the power to overcome. Therefore, let us speak it out of our mouths. Stop holding back within your mind. Start speaking it into the atmosphere. Start speaking out of your mouth within your heart. If God called you, start thanking him for calling you. If you know that God's going to give you riches, start claiming it now. Say, Lord, I thank you for being a multimillionaire. Lord, I thank you for being prosperous. Lord, I thank you for my ministry. Lord, I thank you for giving me the ability to preach and teach and worship. I thank you in advance for what you've given me. Start speaking it out of your mouth. As the Bible said, let the weak, that's what Joel said, chapter number 3, verse 10, be, that's me, the second part of that scripture. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Do you not remember in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul said something. Let me just say it in the American Standard Version. This is what Paul said in chapter number 12, verses 7 through 10. He said, and by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, I went to the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. But look what Jesus said. See, some of you got thorns in your flesh. The Lord is not going to remove it. He's going to use it as a tool to remind you that I can carry you through. Sometimes he's going to leave a thorn in your flesh to let you know you might have the pain, but you won't go through the strain. I'm going to deliver you from out where you come from. In other words, he's going to deliver you from the kingdom of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. Look what Paul said. He said, concerning this, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. But look what the Lord Jesus said to him. He said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is beneficial to you. It's a need for you to have my grace. Why? For my power, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then look what Paul said after he found out that it was a joy and a wonderful thing to have the strength in Christ. He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, I take pleasure now in weaknesses, in injuries, and necessities and persecutions and in distress for Christ's sake. Watch this. For when I am weak, then am I strong. To be strong means to be anti-weak. To be anti-weak means to be strong. So even though I'm weak, but in Christ under the anointing, I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. But the anointing is in Christ. That's why, saints of God and friends, you must intensify your anointing by having a relationship which brings on your strength in the Lord. So one of the key elements of protecting your anointing is being strong in the Lord. Number two now, this next element of protecting your anointing is the building up of your faith. To protect your anointing is of the building up of your faith. Look what the Bible says in Jude chapter number 20 and 21. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Did you hear that? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It is very imperative that you pray in the Holy Ghost because the Lord is our strength. He's our health, our wealth, and prosperity. He requires us as believers to always pray and give thanks. Our faith in God is most essential in our lives. Without faith, we cannot exist. The essence of our lives is useless without faith in God. Without faith in our Lord, we are defeated already. We must protect our anointing by having faith in God. But look what Paul says. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Watch this. Number verse number 17 is very powerful and important. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you don't live in faith, you can't have faith in God. You can't. Your strength is not in God. Therefore, your anointing is not protected. My anointing is based on my reliability on God's word and God. If I don't believe in God's word or what he can do, then my anointing cannot be effective and God is not being glorified. And we who come in contact with other folks cannot be rejuvenated, stimulated, motivated, activated. It's powerful. It's imperative, it's necessary that you take your anointing to another level through faith in God, through his word, and believing that God has called me into this season, at this particular time, at this particular moment, to do this particular thing, to help this particular members of Christ. I can't do what my daddy did. I can't do what my mama did. I can't do what Auntie did. I got to do what God told me to do. And therefore, he has to equip me and furnish me with the anointing that's in me. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Not my mother, not my father, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So the just shall live by faith. Faith is a confident assurance that we will experience the reality of what we hope for. Therefore, our faith is determined on our trust in God. I'll say, our faith is determined on our trust in God. And our trust is determined by the numerous accounts that he, God, has delivered us from. Therefore, our trust gives us the confidence to step out on his word in faith, which ignites the anointing that's in us. When I talk about stepping out, I'm talking about stepping out ideally on faith. When I talk about stepping out ideally, it requires both the mental capacity and the physical capacity. When I say that we have to walk in ideal faith, it requires both the mental and the physical capacity. The mental and the physical capacity both must work together to complete the particular task for God for me to do. Because why? When I talk about something ideally, something that's ideal means something that's not based upon any internal or external interference. See, when I talk about ideal faith, I'm talking about faith before the incidents occur. I'm talking about faith before the bad thoughts come. See, for an example, I can say, you know what, child? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But look what I'm doing. I'm speaking ideally. Because the word is spirit. He says, my word is spirit and my word is life. The word is ideal. But it's ideal because nothing has touched me yet. Nothing has penetrated. But when I step out from the word, now I got to try to live the ideal word. And that's where the anointing comes in. Because the anointing helps me to live the idealness of the word. Because the word is perfect. I'm not. So I need my anointing to take me to the perfectness of the word. I can live the word only through the power of the anointing of God. Look what it says. I can do all things. I can do anything. I can do everything only through Christ. Without Christ, I can't do nothing. Without Christ, I can't say nothing. Without Christ, I can't be nothing. But, oh, if I have Christ, I got anointing. When I got Christ, I have power. When I got Christ, I have the fortitude, the attitude, the gratitude. You see what I'm saying? I got the ability to transcend above my circumstances. So, therefore, with the confidence in God through faith, I can step out ideally. In other words, my mental and physical capacity will help me to deal with the external and internal problems around me. Therefore, to complete the will of God, I must believe in his word with confidence. I'll repeat that. In order to complete the will of God, I must believe in his word with confidence. And my confidence will manifest my request to God that is invisible, but bring it forth in the natural. Why? We walk by faith, not by sight. And I want to tell you what faith is in a nutshell. Faith is the fire that consumes the hurdles of my desires. I'll repeat that. Faith is the fire that consumes the opposition and the hurdles of my desire. Honey, if I believe I'm going to be rich, ain't no devil in hell can stop me. If I believe my ministry is going to be victorious, nobody can stop me. Because what? The fire of my faith has burned up the ways of the enemy. It has consumed what the enemy has done, put forth to me. What the devil has put for evil, God set it for good. The devil thought he had me, but God made a way. My faith will consume the powers of all my enemies. It takes faith. So look what he said here. We're getting close to the end now. I have three things in faith that we need to be effective in ministry that our anointing will be protective. Three elements that we must take note of. That my faith can be such that my anointing will be productive. The three elements is faith, works, and love. I repeat, faith, works, and love. If you don't have those three elements, you cannot go from faith to faith. Because we live by our faith, because the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. But I must increase my faith. Now, let me just go through this briefly. First of all, faith. We need faith to please God. I repeat, we need faith to please God. In order to please God, one must have faith in him. For the Bible states, but without faith, that's Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 7 and 8, or 6 and 7, rather. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me read that again. We need faith to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the problem is, we only go with that scripture alone. And your anointing cannot be intensified or glorified until you add to your faith. So Hebrews is good, but the Bible said out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. When you start looking now in the book of James says now, because the theme, the essence of James is faith that works. Faith that works. Look what he said here. He said, what profits a man to say he has faith and not have works? Do faith save him? Then he said, I tell you what, people. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, even so, that without faith, he said, even so, if it have not works, it's dead being alone. We have to understand that faith without works are dead. You say in Hebrews chapter number 6 and 7, 11, 6 and 7, you quote that only. But to intensify my anointing, I have to use faith with works. Because why? We need faith with works to please God now. I need faith to please God, but now I need faith with works to please God. That will intensify my anointing because my faith is increased in him. So James says faith without works is dead. As the body is dead without the spirit, so is the similarity. Faith without works is dead. So first of all, we need faith to please God. But now we're saying we need faith with works. James said it, but look, also Peter says it. Peter says it in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 5 and 7. He says, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity or love. He said, now, if you have these things and they abound, he said, you'll be so that you will not be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said in verse 8, though. He said, he that lack these things, you that lack these elements adding to your faith, he said, you are blind and cannot see afar off. And you have forgotten that you've been purged. You have forgotten that you was anointed. You've forgotten that God has called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. You have forgotten that he has taken you from the scum of the earth and put you into the elements of God's dear son. You have to add, y'all. You can't just have belief in God. I have to add to my faith. I have to add knowledge to my faith. I got to know that God called me. I got to know that God set me apart. I got to know that God sanctified me. He consecrated me. He set me apart. I got to know that God has me strategically plotted, set down to move, maneuver in the way that he wants. You have to know that even though I'm not preaching doesn't mean he's taking me away from being a preacher. Because my church won't let me heal doesn't mean I'm not a healer. They're not letting me talk doesn't mean I'm not a teacher. You got to step out on God and believe that he called me to do it and go forth in confirmation and go out among the world and do what God called you to do.
Oh, yeah.
You need to work with your faith. You got to believe. Not only believe it, you got to start doing it. Do what God told you to do, and your anointing will be displayed. Your anointing will show. Your gift will make room for you. So James picked it up and said you need faith with works, followed by Peter saying you need faith with works. But nobody says that I'm getting closer to the end. Oh, let me just digress for a moment. Let me go back. Now, he said in verse 8, he that lacked these things from verses 5 and verse 7 of chapter number 1 of 2 Peter. He said, he that lacked these things are blind and cannot see afar, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But look what he said in the latter part of verse 10. The latter part said, if you do these things that you receive from verse number 5 and verse number 7, he said, you will never fall. Therefore, your anointing will be protected. Your ministry will be intact. Your calling will be secured. You got to believe that I'm adding to what God wants you to do. And if you add to what God wants you to do, therefore, your anointing will be protected, and you'll be able to walk in victory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Thank you.
And lastly, love.
Mm.
We need faith with works. In love. To please God. First of all, let me recap. I said the three elements was first faith, works, and love. Yes, we need faith to please God. But also to please God in the anointing, I need to have faith with works. And now I need faith with works in love.
In love.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, he said you can have the gifts. You can have the tongue of men and of angels.
All right.
You can have all mastery and understand all knowledge and have all faith. But if you don't have love, he said you're like a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. He said that you're worthless.
Glory!
I don't give a care what kind of gift you got. I don't care if you're an apostle. I don't care if you're a prophet. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care if you're a pastor or a teacher, but if you don't have love, honey, your anointing is not there. I need love with my anointing. If I got love, my anointing will show. If I got love is stronger than death. What you talking about, honey? I can raise you up from the dead, but if I got love. If I got love, I can change you. With love, I can mold you. With love, I can give you what you need. But I don't need my gift only. I need my gift in love. And my anointing will be put.
Jesus.
I don't know who I'm talking to out there, but God says you got to start loving. Stop being a hater. Be a lover. Stop being a fighter, but be a lover. And God will anoint you. And he will cause your anointing to transcend. From all, not only, and some of y'all, and let me just tell you something. Some of y'all need to stop this deal with African Americans. Now, this upsets me now. God did not call you to be the savior of only African Americans.
Come on.
Look what Jesus said. Can I just for a moment? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15, he told his disciples, the 11, because Judas killed himself and Messiah was not yet selected. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel.
Come on.
To blacks only. Nope. Preach the gospel to every creature or creation. Look what he said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And he said, these signs shall follow their belief. In my name. Honey, it's time to preach the gospel to the world. It's time to allow the anointing, the world to see your anointing, not just African Americans, but it's time for the Asians to get saved through you. It's time for Caucasians to get saved under you. It's time for Germans to get saved under you. And it's time for the Africans to be saved under you. Stop being selective and be inclusive, not exclusive.
It's time to include, honey, the world in your world. It's time to expand your phone books of righteousness or in ministry. Stop associating with a certain group. God said that the world cannot see your anointing if you don't step out that the world can see you. The world has to see your anointing. For God so loved the world, 70% of the world population that's not Christian. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but through his son that the world might be saved. Honey, my anointing is for the world. My anointing is for the body of Christ. My anointing is for humanity. The gays have to see my anointing. The lesbians have to experience my anointing. Atheists have to see my anointing. Unbelievers have to see my anointing. Haters have to see my anointing. Unbelievers have to see my anointing. Everybody has to see my anointing. Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. My anointing is bigger than me. My anointing is bigger than my attitude. My anointing is bigger than my perception. My anointing is bigger than my bigotry. I'm no longer a bigot. God selected me for the world. I'm a king's kid. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm anointed. I'm appointed. I'm selected by God. God has called me for such a time as this. Ain't no weapon formed against me. Shall prosper. I'm anointed. Okay, I'm getting ready to close here. So, love. I don't give a care what kind of gift you got, honey. If you don't love me, I can't be healed.
Come on.
If you don't love me, and I don't love you, the anointing won't work. Look what happened here. The spirits rest upon Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of a quick understanding. The spirit of the fear of God. All those spirits rest on Christ. But when Christ went into certain neighborhoods, he only could do certain things because of unbelief. Honey, when you got unbelief in your life, I can't heal you. If I have unbelief in my life, in myself, my anointing cannot flow. God said you better stop trusting yourself and start trusting in the anointing. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that's in me. I don't need no teacher if I got the anointing. The Holy Ghost will give me what to say at that given hour. He said it's a teacher, and he'll lead me and guide me in all truth and righteousness. But I need that anointing, and I got to protect it with my life.
Come on.
Woo! I need love with my anointing. I need love with my gift of teaching. If I'm an apostle, I got to have love with me. If I'm a prophet, I must love. If I'm an evangelist, I must love. If I'm a pastor, I sure enough better have some love. If I'm a teacher, I must love. If I got the gift of administration, I got to have some love. If I got the gift of healings, I got to love. If I got the gift of discernment of spirits, I got to love. If I got the spirit of interpreting scripture, of interpreting tongues, I have to love, because love is God. He said, how can you say you love me who you have never seen and hate your brother whom you see every day? He said, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. He said, you dwell in darkness. He said, God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. Say to God and friends, you need to love. The anointing is in the love. The anointing is in my concern for people. Love for my ministry, but love for the people I'm touching in my ministry. Whoa! The love for my pastoralship, but the love for the people I'm pastoring. The people that God called me to spread the good news about missionary work as an apostle, I have to love those orphans. I have to love those people that have been molested. I have to love the people with the fatherless and the motherless. I have to love, because love is the bond of perfectness or perfect harmony. Honey, if I can't love, I will be divided, and my anointing will not be intensified. I'm coming down now. So I must love him. Chapter number 13 tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, he said you can have the tongue of the men of angels and understand and have all mystery and have all faith to tell the mountains to be removed, but have not love, it profits you nothing. To give your body to be burned without love is a mistake. To give all your riches to the poor and don't love, you're useless. God said, I'm trying to intensify your anointing today. I'm trying to let you step back and look at yourself and say that you're not where you were 20 years ago. Some of you are worse. Because when you first received me, you loved everybody. Oh, Lord! When you first got a hold of me, you loved even the roach that was in your apartment. The pests that were in your house, you loved them. But now 20 years later, you look at all of us as roaches. You look at all of us as rats. You look at all of us beneath you. Shame on you for believing you're higher than me. The Bible said, don't think more highly than yourself than you ought. Think more highly of others than yourself. Esteem those highly. Love your neighbor as yourself. Stop looking at you. You're not above me. I'm above you because I can love. I said I'm above you because I can love. Because if I love you, I'm with God. And God is above all of us. God is expecting love in our ministry. Then our anointing will flow. In my closing, saints of God and friends, there's a need today to protect and secure and intensify our anointing. When I'm speaking of anointing, I'm not speaking of the oil that was given in the Old Testament. I'm not talking about the high priest with the oil. I'm talking about the end time oil through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Spirit of God that he's given us. He's given us a power that goes beyond anything we can imagine. That power, that anointing in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, said that it teaches us all things. It gives us power. It destroys yokes. It defeats what the devil puts out. But in order for me to do that, in order for me to intensify my anointing, first of all, I must have strength in the Lord. I must be strong in the Lord. In order to intensify my power in God, I must believe that I'm strong in him, that my strength comes through him only. He's the only source of my life. He is food when I'm hungry. He's water when I'm thirsty. He's clothing when I'm naked. He's my parent when I'm parentless. Then another element of securing and intensifying and increasing and enhancing my anointing, my faith in him must be built up. I must pray in the Holy Ghost. I must believe in the Holy Ghost. I must believe with confidence through God's word that I am an overcomer. And then I must believe him in three stages because the just shall live by faith. I have to move from faith to faith. In other words, I have to add to the faith that I already had in Christ. I got Christ through my faith, but now to sustain him, I must add. So therefore, it takes faith to please God. But also, as we went over, you must have faith with works. And lastly, you must have faith with works in love. Let me read that scripture to you again now. In 1 John, chapter number 2. Turn to it with you. Chapter number 2, 1 John, chapter number 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Thank you, God and friends. Please love. Forgive yourself. Then forgive others. Then love the Lord with all of your heart. all of your mind, all of your strength, and then trust in him with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Then, after that, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to prove that good things and acceptable things and the perfect will of God things. And then be ye transformed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, your attitude and your thoughts has to be on one accord in order for your anointing to be protected, and your way in Christ will be what he's calling for in these last and evil days. Thank you. May God forever bless you all. Thank you.
Wow. Nothing else. I can't even. I'm speechless today, Dr. Singleton. Speechless. Hardly ever lost for words, but I am today.
Oh,
I tell you. An awesome word.
Oh, no.
Life changing. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, God, we appreciate you making the sacrifice and coming on and ministering. I tell you, God has been dealing with me heavily about these messages. And we're working on now getting someone to put them on CD where you can go you can't recapture this. And if you don't have a tape recorder, you're not able to download it MP3 fashion, all of those other modern technologies that they have, it's forever lost. But these are the type of messages that you can play in your car and in your home when you're going through situations. These messages will encourage your heart and encourage you also to protect your anointing. Dr. Singleton have already taken. He wasn't speaking up about the oil we anoint ourselves with, but he was speaking of that power that dwells on the inside. God bless you, Dr. Singleton. We're going to open up the lines. I see Minister Billy Burns, my dear friend from North Carolina, from Chicago, Illinois. She lives in the Carolinas now, and she hosts our Saturday segment. And we'd like to invite you all to tune in for that Saturday segment. She has wonderful men and women of God that come on the line and share miraculous testimonies about the power of God. And it airs every Saturday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central, at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for her today. If she's still on the line, we'd like to open up the lines and have some words from her. God bless you.
God bless you. I'm not feeling well today, but I just wanted to hear that awesome word from the man of God protecting our anointing. I just thank God for just hearing that word. And I put it, like you said, it's a message that you need to hear over and over again. So I pray that you hurry and get that, so that we can start. We can go into the archives and hear it, but it's nothing like being in your car or being at home when you don't have, you know, the access to different things that you can put a CD in and listen to it. So God bless you, and thank you again for opening up the line. And please join us every Saturday. The Lord has really been blessing the program and giving us some awesome testimonies that he's still in the blessing business. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. I love you.
Love you too, Minister Burns. I tell you, she had a, she rebroadcasted a segment last week, and this pastor, she's a female, and she was in, you all have to go to her Facebook page or go to Blog Talk Radio and pull up that rebroadcast. I don't know the original dates, but I'll have her to give you those original dates where after 19 years in a relationship with the same sex, the Lord delivered her, brought her out. Amen. Wow. And now she's pastoring. And, you know, people is under, people are of the mindset, Dr. Singleton and Minister Billy, that, you know, once in a homosexual relationship, there's no changing. They feel like, oh, it's a facade. You still practice it. Oh, no, you don't have to still practice something, especially when God has delivered you, because nothing is impossible to God. So when you tell me I'm still practicing in sin that I've been delivered from, I'll tell you the devil is a lie. God is more powerful than that. He has limitless power. Amen. So I tell you, you all need to go on that, on the archive. You have days, Minister Burns.
It was the original was August 31st. Yes, and then the rebroadcast was this past Saturday.
Okay. You all need to hear that testimony. I tell you, you know, sometimes we, many times we take each other for granted, and we take what God is doing in our lives for granted, but, you know, you don't have to stay in the state that you're in. God is a deliverer. He's a healer. He's a strong power. Hallelujah. And we just bless the Lord, and we want Pastor Singleton, I'm going to ask Dr. Singleton to pray for Minister Billy. She's not feeling good in her body, and even to pray for her husband and the ministry that they have there in the Carolinas. And then we're going to continue
can
on
I,
with
I,
all
I,
of all
okay.
on the line. Amen.
Evangelist Adrian.
Yeah.
I don't know how she feels right now, but when she was talking, the Lord had me to lay hands on this speaker. I was praying for her when she was talking.
Okay.
I was praying for her when she was talking, and I felt the anointing. I don't know how she feels right now. She don't feel right. But I tell her, I was praying for her when she was talking. And I said, I was rebuking things as she was talking.
All right.
I don't know. You want me to play again? I can play again. But see,
no,
the anointing.
All right. The Lord is leading you.
The anointing says, all you got to do now, honey, is believe. If you believe the anointing will touch your body right now.
Lord,
have mercy. The anointing will hit you right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I was praying when you were talking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
All you got to do is believe, honey. That's all you got to do is believe. The anointing will destroy the
yoke.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory
to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
God. Yes, God.
Hey, God.
I feel it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Your faith making you well. Your faith. Your faith making you well, honey.
Thank
Ooh.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Glory bless God.
Thank
we bless
you.
You.
Bless
you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Healing.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Wonderful, wonderful truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
If I don't
Thank
believe,
you,
I won't receive.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sister Ruby, thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Minister Burns. We love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Glory.
Sister Ruby?
Oh, praise the Lord. You want me to open the line?
Yes, ma'am. Please, would you mind?
Sister T, your line is open.
God bless you, Sister T. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for that word that came forth. What I got out of it is the love. We have to have that love. We have to have God's love. We have to show His love. I just thank God for the word that came forth. And I just thank God for just being able to be on this line and be encouraged. I know it's a lot going on around me, but yet I am trusting God. Pray
Hallelujah.
My
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
Oh, Sister Kim? Okay, praise the Lord. Sister Cam?
Amen, amen, amen. God, I bless you. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
I ain't say it. I'm happy. I'm rejoicing in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Sister Albertine.
Lord, yes, Lord. I'm just celebrating that anointing, my God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ, that's all right. I'm a praising. I'm at my son's school, and I'm in the parking lot, and I'm praising God. That was awesome. I came in and out. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, Sister Ruby, Dr. Singleton. That was powerful. Man, oh, man, I'm sitting here just, I can't even sit still. It was confirmation on a lot of things that I've been going through. And the point you made about your anointings, you have to keep that anointings going because if you don't, you real succumb to the things that's going on around you. Because I've been in the storm for a couple of months now, and I know that God has just been moving and changing things in my life and leading me into a new direction. And sometimes we can't see, but if we stay under that anointing and stay in that word of God, eventually God will reveal to us and we'll understand it's just to build us and strengthen us and get us to that next point of that next level. But, oh, my God, that was beautiful. I needed that today. That was confirmation from the powerful prayer I had last night. And today that just sealed the deal and gave me my confirmation. That's what I need to do. So I thank you. That was very powerful. I loved it. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. And to Sister
amen. Ruth. Amen. Bless you, Sister Albertine. Appreciate you. Amen. Amen.
That was good. Some good stuff.
Hallelujah. Yeah, we're working on getting these messages on CD, so stay tuned. The Lord is going to bless us to accomplish this. I think it's,
can't
it's,
wait.
It's needful.
Yes.
It's needful.
Oh, Lord.
Amen, yes. Amen.
Yes, I celebrate you, Lord.
Thank you,
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Next caller, who's that? Who else is on the line?
Sister Arlene.
Sister Arlene.
Oh, hi. Good evening.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Did you have any any comments on the lesson?
No, just confirmation. It's just as usual, just confirmation in terms of, sticking to the Lord and what He has to say. I'm waiting right now for my blessing, and I just know that as long as I heed the word and stay away from the things that are not of God, it's going to happen and manifest. So just thank you for confirming the man of God, confirming the word. That I already have, God already placed in my heart. Thank you, God, so much.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Eileen. Thank you. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in and all of our callers on the line. I saw Sister Patrice early. I don't see her any longer, but God bless you. Amen.
Sister Lou. 614-8043. It's open. Okay, we're going to go. It's a number here. I haven't seen it before, but I'm going to call it. 252-9826. Is this Prophet
yes.
Pearson?
Yes, it is.
Prophet Pearson?
Praise the Lord, man of God.
Hey, Lord.
Is this Prophet Pearson? I can't hear anybody.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Is this Prophet Carlos Pearson? Okay, may have his phone on mute.
Okay, we're going
yes.
to. Sister Dawn, your line is on. Sister Dawn. Sister Dawn. Okay.
He's not able to.
That's all. I think I got everybody on the line.
Amen, amen. Is Sister Kim still available?
She never answered, so I can go there again.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Sister Kim?
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see if Prophet Pearson can respond. If not, we're going to go back to Sister Ruby, our co-host, and have remarks from her. And then we're going to go back to Dr. Singleton and have his final remarks, and we're going to close on our Remember Tomorrow. Dr. Corinthia Patterson will be with us from North Carolina. Again, Carolina's in the house, so we certainly enjoy Dr. Patterson. Tune in tomorrow, and on Friday, Prophet Michael Davis of Vacaville, California, he will be ministering for us on Friday. So Tune in tomorrow for Dr. Patterson, and on Friday we'll close out the week with Prophet Michael Davis. Amen. You don't want to miss these two anointed men of God. I tell you, on tomorrow and Friday, they will do some in-depth teaching. I know Dr. Patterson and Prophet Davis both are anointed, profound teachers. Amen. So we certainly invite you all to tune in as we continue this series on Protect Your Anointed. Amen. God bless you, Prophet Carlos, Prophet Pearson. God bless you. Okay, no response from him. Well, we'll get a response, a remark from Sister Ruby Larry. God bless you, Sister Ruby.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank God for you.
Dr. Singleton, what can I say? But all I need to do is search myself and see if I got the three to say we need to. The word has just been a blessing, and I just thank the Lord that he gave you the opportunity and the time to come forth to his precious people to bring his holy word from on high. It truly was anointed.
Thank you.
That's about it, Evangelist.
Amen, amen. Dr. Singleton, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We're just thankful to be a part of this wonderful ministry. I thank the Lord. I've seen it in its infancy. I could say I was a part of it when it was being created in the mind of the host. And so it's really nice to see, you know, in the beginning God created. In the beginning of this ministry, Evangelist Adrian created. And now come forth in creation. So I want to thank the Lord for this powerful ministry. And she had a lot to do with the anointing, too, because the anointing spoke to you and told you out of your belly it would come forth. And so I just want to thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for just you being patient, everyone from far and near. No goodness of my own. I'm very happy to be a tool for the Lord. And just keep praying for me that the Lord will increase me, that I'll have more to give. I have to give to get. So I want to give more, but I have to give more. So just keep praying for me. And I'm looking for the sister that we prayed for. I'm looking for her to come back with a wonderful praise report. The Bible says this too. Especially when Jesus healed people, he said they were healed as they went. Or he would say in that same hour. So sometimes healing is a process, but in most times, if it's instantaneous, it's a miracle. But in most cases, it's a process of time. So we're looking for the process of time for our lovely sister to come back forth to let us know what God did. Because when she was talking, the Holy Ghost already had me to touch the speakers, praying for her when she was talking. And so I didn't know why they had to do it, but I just did it, you know. And so I didn't think I had to pray it a second time. I think it already went forth. But I think it's all based on our beliefs now. We can believe that we are anointed, then a lot of hurdles and obstacles will be, like I said, faith is the fire.
Is the fire.
Consumes the hurdles of my desires. So if I can have faith, it will burn up all doubts of what I want God to do for me. It'll burn up every uncertainty. It'll burn up everything that is not of God. It will consume by fire, and the anointing will then become dominant. Thank you very much, and may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. We certainly thank God for you. We're going to ask you to just close us out with the word of prayer. And also, before we close again, I want you all to continue to keep Pastor Edward Hamilton, our Provoke the Priorities pastor, in your prayers. Amen. So we're going to ask Dr. Singleton, before he get off the line, to pray again for complete wholeness and healing for Pastor Edward Hamilton, and just close us out with the word of prayer. Amen. We truly thank God for you, Dr. Singleton.
Thank you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for your anointing power being on the airwaves and in our phones and in our hearts. We thank you, Lord God, for just giving us the strength and the mindset to know that, Lord, without faith in what you have given us, it will not manifest. We thank you, Lord God, for this anointed topic that came forth, Lord God. We thank you for all those that came so far. on this broadcast to make known concerning of this anointing and being protected. Father, all the listeners today, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to bless them in a special way. Because, first of all, Lord, they made a sacrifice to come on the phone. They made a sacrifice out of their own time to get a word from you. And, Father, we can't what you ask, Lord, your word, you said your word is spirit. And your word is like, Father, we ask you to go to everyone that's listening at this time.
Touch
them by your mighty power. Heal their body from the crown of their head. Deliver the mind, Lord. Deliver the attitude. Lord, strengthen them in every facet of their being. Father, your word, if we don't have what you need, give us what you need. Furnish us, Lord God, in the power. Give us and provide us with what we need, Lord, to help. Lord God, Pastor Hamilton and the pastor, Lord God, that we prayed for earlier. Father, we ask you to touch them, Lord. They're servants of yours, Lord. They're touching lives. They're changing lives. Father, sometimes the enemy wants to attack, but right now, the blood of Jesus, we bind. We bind every hinder. We break every seven. Right now, Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to rejuvenate them right now. Give them right now, Lord God, the strength and the fortitude and attitude and the stick-to-itiveness right now. Father, touch their families, Lord God. Bless them in their finances. Bless them in their relationships. Bless them in their congregations. Bless them in their influences. Hallelujah, Lord. We ask you to touch, Lord, by your mighty power. Lord, bless the host of this lovely ministry. Lord, continue to bless her. Bless the co-host. And bless those that affiliate with her, Father. We thank you. And, Lord, bring a spirit of prosperity on us as we have need of. And we give you... Lord, we ask you, Lord God, right now to touch, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank God for all those that were in the chat room today. We bless the Lord for you. We'd like to encourage you to go to our website, www.newdestinyministries.com, and you can listen to these messages in their entirety or at blogtalkradio.com. You can also visit Dr. Singleton's website at www.greaterenrichmentministries.com and see what his ministry deal with in compassion man, the total man. So there's different services that he offers to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and even those that may not know the Lord, he has something that he can offer you to encourage you and empower you. Amen. So we thank God for you. Tune in again tomorrow and Friday with our other guest speakers, Dr. Patterson on tomorrow. And again, once again, I'm being a little redundant, but sometimes people fall off and sometimes they come on later and they have not heard the announcement. But Dr. Corinthus Patterson of Durham, North Carolina, will be with us tomorrow, and Prophet Michael Davis will be ministering on Friday out of Vacaville, California. So God bless you all. Thank you, Sister Ruby. You can close us out with the selection. Have a wonderful and glorious day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Sink.
Amen. God is here by Juanita Bynum.
Prophet Pearson, you all may have been muted, but we've seen you. God bless you. Thank God for you. Hello?
Thank you.
God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m.